Well, praise God, we're going to be in Romans in just a moment. I want to start with just a little piece of history for you. Some of you might have heard in the 1700s, towards the latter half, there was a fashion for women that involved elaborate hair. Does anybody remember this? 1980. All right, there you go. It didn't rival the 1700s, I will say that. What I heard was ladies would do up their hair, and this is mostly the ladies of leisure, those who had money and had time. They would do up their hair as big and as high as they could, and they would put all kinds of stuff in their hair. In fact, even stuffed birds, and I've heard also bird cages at times with living birds inside. That does get it higher, you know, and bigger and pretty awesome. Pretty amazing. Now, of course, to do that, they could not wash their hair as regularly. In fact, they even had to sleep sitting up, is what I've heard. And so if you think that's pretty weird, we'll just say, yeah, that's pretty weird. But if you're a guy today thinking, I'm so glad I'm a guy, I have one word for you: wigs. That's right. So I'll just say culture is weird, right? It's really weird. And I think a little more than when I was a kid. How many ever looked at a crowd or even just an individual and thought, man, the world is different in this day, right? Yeah, there's enough weirdness here in this room. I'll just say that. That's okay. You know, we're all a little weird, and just everybody's gotten a little weirder, maybe, you know? I don't know. But I will say this, that God calls his people to welcome the other into the church. Amen?
Amen.
And that's where we're going today. So I'm guessing a lot of you were not surprised by the third tree last week, the cross, right? This is the central tree, and it does tie everything together. And we saw the first week the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where Adam and Eve sinned, and sin and evil entered the world through that, and it was horrible. And the second tree, we saw Psalm 1, there was this tree that was fulfilling the call that God gave to all of humanity. It was God's plan A, then his plan B, that all of us would flourish. We would multiply and fill the earth and flourish. And then, of course, the cross is the third tree. And we come to the fourth one, and one of you almost pretty much guessed this one. This is in Romans 11. It's a very unique one, but it really hits the center of who we are as God's people now. And I know we're coming into the middle of the conversation if we come to the middle of Romans 11, but I think we can pick it up real easily. Let me set the stage for you real quickly, that Paul the Apostle wrote his letter to the Romans, these Christians in Rome who he had not met, and he was an apostle to the Gentiles who went to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. And so he wrote this epistle to Jews and to Gentiles, at least the message is to both. And he wanted to write it to them to explain before going on his next missionary journey. Here's what I'm doing. I'm coming through Rome and also going to be doing this. And so he wrote this. And we come into the middle of it in Romans 11. And so would you stand with me in honor of God's word? Romans 11, verses 17 through 27. Let's ask God to speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your written words, Lord. They are preserved for us, and we appreciate that. And we ask right now that as we read, as we listen, your Spirit would speak to us, that we would know your will for us, collectively and individually. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Romans 11, verse 17 and following. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this: you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature and contrary to nature, were grafted into a cultivated tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. We'll come back to that thought, but remember that. All Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you. You may be seated. I know this is a little confusing and it's an illustration, but I'll start with a different one. How many like apple pie? Good. Now, how many like Dutch apple pie? Now, I won't ask you which one you like better. That might start a civil war in our town. But I will ask you, in Netherlands, do they call it Dutch apple pie? I haven't heard this debate yet, but I have a sense. What should we call apple pie? I don't know. Kind of a confusing thing, right? Everybody claims apple pie. It's a good American thing. And it's the same with olive trees. Because in all around the Mediterranean, everywhere the Roman Empire spread, there were olive trees pretty much everywhere. And so the Romans themselves, they claimed olive trees. And the Greeks, they had olive branch as a part of their culture and their symbol. And same with Israel. All of the best oil was olive oil. And so they claimed it too. So everyone claimed olives and olive trees. One of my daughters ate a full can of olives last night. I got olives on the brain. She was the one who asked for them, so I don't know. Everybody likes olives? No, not exactly. But it feels like it certainly is a useful thing. And it represents something beautiful. And Paul's drawing this picture of this tree, but it's kind of a weird tree, isn't it? There's branches lopped off. There's different branches grafted in. It's hard to visualize, and it really, in many ways, is a beautiful, ugly little tree that is kind of like the church. Ugly, beautiful, you know? In all of our wonder and splendor, God brings us in and brings us into one beautiful, kind of like a family, you know? A family with all of God's goodness in us, through us. And so to get there, we just have to imagine that some of the branches have been broken off. Some other branches have been taken from wild trees. They've been cut and they've been grafted in. Some of the natural branches will also be grafted in. So the tree's perhaps notched and prepared for that. Anybody ever grafted before? It's a neat image here. And so our family a few years ago was looking to plant some trees, and I was looking all around because I was trying to figure out what to get. And at one store, they actually had apple trees that they had grafted in four different kinds of apples on these one trees. And I thought, that's wild. And then I thought, well, that's kind of American, right? Like it's a melting pot. You know, it's like all the apple trees put together. And that's a little bit like what I envision this tree to look like. When we lived in the apple country, we found out they did all kinds of things for grafting. In fact, one even said they actually grafted apple branches into a rose bush base because a rose bush would actually bring in more moisture. And I don't know if they were just experimenting or what, but they had all these trellis things they set up and all these different things to help apples grow. And it just made me think, you know, grafting has been around for a long, long time. And so it's a beautiful image for the church, as the Apostle Paul tells his Gentile friends, that they need to respect the natural branches and appreciate their Jewish Christian brothers and sisters. And they do this for two reasons. I put note pages in the bulletin there. Now, the first one is for us as well as for them that we need to welcome others. Now, this is really special in their case as Jewish and Gentile Christians because in their day, they had an unusual situation. And you don't have to fully understand it to appreciate this passage, but it does help. Here's the 32nd version. Around 50 AD, the emperor expelled all Jews from Rome. All of them. Anybody who was a Jew, they were just cast out of Rome. There was some fighting that had happened. They expelled them. And so the Jews had to leave. Now, that doesn't mean all Christians, because some of the Christians were Gentiles. Some were Jewish. And so they were all, those Jews were all sent out. And so a little bit later, they could come back. And they came back. And when they did, there's these Gentile Christians that were already the people of standing. They already had keys in the church, so to speak, and they were there, and the Jewish Christians came back. And we don't know the exact timing of the writing of this epistle, but it seems to be that it does coincide with this whole thing. Paul's letting them know, not just to welcome them back into the church as guests, but to understand who they are as people and as Christians. And the Gentiles needed to understand that the gospel, the good news, came from the Jews because God gave his chosen people his love, care, and forgiveness, his support of them through history. Also, the written word itself, the scriptures, were brought with the Jews into the church. And so even the Messiah himself, Jesus, the Son of God, came through the Jews and as a Jew. And so the Jewish Christians, their presence in the church is not only just like a literal help, but it's also a symbolic blessing to them in the church. They had so much to offer. And so Paul is asking the Gentile Christians to see that they welcome them back in Jesus' name. And that final image is beautiful. In verse 26, it says that together they make up all Israel. The people of God was Jew and Gentile together with Jesus as Savior. And so there's two ways we can apply this. And one of the ways I just want to mention today, it seems like a very good day for it. One of the ways we do this is we honor the aged who have gone before us. They are the ones whose shoulders we stand on. We can value our heritage and our history, and partly by honoring the aged among us. It means locally at Crosspoint, as well as each of us, our spiritual parents, our grandparents, as mentors, to honor the aged who've gone before us. And you may know Jewish Christians as well, and that's important too. Their number is growing. We can honor them who've gone before. And there's other ways too we'll get to in just a moment. But the other message that comes out of here is that they were not to be careless about their own salvation. They were to be humble. Because salvation is by faith, it says in verse 21, and this is how we stand. And so if living in Christ makes us more Christ-like, it's possible to be tempted that we're Christian enough at some point and to fall off the journey, to fall off the path. And so we have to remember, all of us, that it's by faith. And if we live by faith, this won't ever happen. And so it says we're to live in reverent fear of who God is and to live holy lives before him. Verse 22 says to continue in that kindness, to walk by faith in the way God has shown us, to be humble, to stay humble. And so we come to, I think, the two point of this whole message is to be humble and to be hopeful. I heard a neat story about this I really like. A young man was walking along the beach and he came across what looked like some baked clay balls. There's a whole bunch of them there. It was kind of curious. They had been baked in the sun, maybe. He wasn't sure. But he picked one up, and it was just the right size for throwing. And so he took it, and he threw it out into the ocean. And he really liked that, so he grabbed another one, and he threw it, and he threw it. And he would come back to the beach sometimes. He'd see these, and he'd throw them out in the ocean. And one day he got curious, and he threw it on the ground, and it broke. And inside of it was a gem, a jewel. And he couldn't believe it, so he grabbed another one, he threw it, and it broke, and inside it was a jewel. And he started breaking all of them. He realized all these things for some reason. He didn't know how they came about, but these were gems inside of these clay balls. And all of a sudden it hit him how many of these things he had thrown out into the ocean without even realizing. And it makes me think that the people around us as Christians, we often see the clay jewels because that's what we are. We are, you know, we're made of clay. We don't always realize the value that's inside each one because of who our Creator is. We don't ever want to cast that aside by any means. And so I think that the two points here are to be humble and hopeful. All of us need to be about the gospel. Now, outside the church, that means inviting and welcoming people to Jesus. And inside the church, that means the same thing. And it can be weird at times, right? Because we don't always know about others. Sometimes someone seems like a Christian and they're not. Sometimes it seems like they are a Christian and I said they're wrong. Sometimes it doesn't seem like they're a Christian and they are. And it's too bad sometimes that we look at the wrong things, you know? A lot of times what we look at has to do with culture and what we're used to. Once there was these two young fish swimming along in this stream, and they happened to meet an older fish who was coming along. The older fish nods at them and says, "Morning, boys, how's the water?" The two young fish swim on for a bit, and then one of them looks at the other and says, "What the heck is water?" The culture we swim in, we don't always see what it is, right? We don't always see past it very well to realize what's going on underneath. But the point is, Paul is telling us that even though people are different, all of us only come to salvation by being grafted in to that stock, that root, in Him. And so this means welcoming people who are different from us. It's just, it's going to happen. It's got to happen. And it can get hard because when we see people, it's, you know, it's hard to see through that layer of culture, like I said. You know, I remember the day when the whole thing about dressing like a motorcyclist, like, was a way to dress as a rebel. And we often assume someone's not a Christian if they're dressed like a motorcyclist, right? Now that's changed. There's motorcycle ministries, you know? I've met people who've been part of motorcycle clubs, and they had full leather jackets and the crosses on them and all kinds of stuff, you know, because things change over time. And lots of examples we could talk about today. Culture just changes over time. And so we get surprised, right? We run into someone and we get surprised sometimes, and it's amazing what God is doing inside of them. There was a day when President Lincoln was walking, and an officer in the War Department came running around the corner and bumped right into President Lincoln. And he saw him and realized the man he bumped into and said, 2,000 pardons. Lincoln smiled, "One is enough. I wish the whole army would charge like that." You know, what comes out of us when we bump into someone or we get bumped into, you know? If we don't truly love others, they can sense that, you know? And so it's important for us to take the gospel seriously inside of us and to let God work in us. And when we say, "Lord, who can I witness to your love?" To let Him pick someone out, to let Him speak to us and not just us think, "Oh, we know who could become a Christian or who might already be a Christian," you know, a follower of Jesus. And so I think this requires us to be humble and hopeful. It takes courage to share the good news of Jesus with others. You know, we have to be hopeful. The world is full of hopelessness. Even some Christians are quite hopeless. And I know life is tough. I know things are weird. But the Bible is full of hope. And there's lots of weird times in the Bible, right? Even Revelation, that final book of the Bible, is full of all kinds of weird stuff. If you really read it, you hear a sense of hope that pervades it from beginning to end. Took me a little while to realize that, but I see that so clearly now. Being a Christian means welcoming the people who are around us who are even very different than us. And so part of being humble is being curious. And I'd love for this to be a key word for us this week, to be curious. When we run into somebody, when we start talking, sometimes people have reasons for things and we'll never know until we ask them. You know, I heard a preacher say this week, there's always a why behind the what. You know, often we see the what, and if the what seems very different, we're not sure, like, well, how could somebody do that? Why would somebody say that? You know, sometimes it's good to ask them. Ask them. Be curious. There's always a why behind the what. God calls us to be a fisher of men, you know, and so that means casting out the gospel, right? And sharing the good news with others. I heard someone say, you catch them, God cleans them, you know? Because we always wonder about things going on in other people's life, and God can help with that, and we don't need to worry about all that ourselves. Good Christian people are hopeful in Jesus. It's one of the things I love about our church in Crosspoint. It's a hopeful people, and I praise God for that. And this leads back to the other thing about being humble. We're often surprised about who Jesus can reach. And I'm old enough now to be surprised about people I've known from past years, even, dare I say, decades past, you know. It's amazing the way God can reach others. And a lot of times people will say no judgment. And I agree with at least part of that statement. You know, we do have to have judgment, but we just have to be really careful with our judgment. We don't judge people. We want every believer to have good judgment. And that means admitting sometimes we can be wrong and being upfront with ourselves and with others about that. And, you know, there are people who like to be ironic and just be, you know, a bit of a surprise themselves, and that's fine. You know, it's good for us to be curious, because I think God is a curious person, you know, and Jesus was curious. No one asked more questions in Scripture than Jesus. So being curious. And if you get to know someone, it's surprising how much they can open up to you. Now, I was taught not to talk to strangers in public places like buses, and that can be good advice for young people in some situations, but I'm so glad I don't still listen to that advice. I think it's important to talk to strangers, and I think Christians, at times, we need to talk to strangers. Of course, let's use our wisdom, but I can't tell you how many wonderful, interesting conversations I've had, even meeting new friends and interactions with people. It's been surprising. My childhood best friend married a young lady that we met at a bus stop waiting for a bus week after week. She came to church, and then they eventually got married. In big city Portland, you never know, you know, what God can do. I've met fascinating people. I've gotten good weather tips. I've met other Christians who went to my daughter's college, good Christian brothers and sisters to help me conquer my fear of strangers and others. And of course, let's be smart, but don't let fear rob you of your next best friend. So I just want to wrap this up and remind us to be humble and hopeful. Together, we make up the crazy, beautiful group called the Church of Jesus. I heard from a church expert, like correspondent person, who said that when he goes into churches, only 25% of them ever greet him. 25%. He goes as a stranger, and he gets greeted by 25%. And he said that now more than ever, people want to treat their sanctuary as their sanctuary. It's their safe space from people who are different. And I thought, how sad that is. And how glad I am that Crosspoint isn't like that. And yet, that's something we have to always lean forward in love. And so I just want to continue to encourage us in that. So questions for us. Who can I welcome into the church? And this is a great question to ask ourselves, especially because Easter's coming. People are thinking about stuff. They're thinking about Jesus. And Easter always brings religious images to mind for people. And some people are sensing a call themselves to come back to church at Easter time or to find out what it is. What does that mean and who Jesus was? And so I encourage you, let God speak to you. Who can you invite and welcome into the church? Who do we know that needs the love of Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, thank you that at some point, each of us who's following Jesus now, we were weird. We were different. Lord, we didn't know you, and someone came to us and shared the good news with us. And so, thank you, Lord. We can't save anyone. And all we can do is be a witness. We can serve someone in love. We can share the good news in love. And so give us the ability to do that this week, we ask. Bring someone to mind. Bring a conversation to bear that we can share your name. We can invite someone to church. Lord, prepare our neighbors, our friends, our family, so we can have good conversations with them. Lord, we just want to open ourselves, our relationships, our words to you for this, we ask.